Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news relating to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now, here is your host of Lickin' on Lending, David Lickin.
Welcome to the broadcast, everybody. Good to have you with us. We're excited to lot to cover today. January 7th, 2013. Happy New Year to all those who did not listen to the broadcast. By the way, over the holidays, we had a couple of excellent broadcasts. We had Bill Coppedge on and talking about some of his background, some of his information on New Year's Eve. Great broadcast, along with Don Hennick, who shared us a heartwarming Christmas story about people, some things going on, a businessman making a difference in Long Island. So go back and listen to the Christmas Eve service as well as the New Year's Eve service. We had Tony Garitano and his executive board on talking about the what we can anticipate moving forward in 2013 as it relates to technology. We got Tony a little bit later on in the broadcast. I don't know, folks, if you're watching the news this morning, but there's some big announcements coming out this morning, January 7th. Again, for those, we say the date because though a lot of people download and listen to the broadcast after the fact. So on January 7th, lots of big news out this morning. And Bill Coppedge is going to bring us an update on that under the radar. Well, this one's on the radar big time. We have to change the name of that segment from under the radar to, wow, on the radar. But very excited to have you here and with us to be a part of the broadcast. I'm very excited to have all of our listeners. Again, our listening audience is growing nicely each and every week. And it's because you, the listeners, are telling others about it. Be sure to pass this on. You can go to our website, lickinonlending.com, look at all the broadcasts, look at what has been there. Also look at what's coming up at all the future guests. I'm trying to get those things updated. The future guests are being updated. Usually I keep them ahead a week, well in advance. But the month of January, we're going to be talking about the future of mortgage banking, our perspectives, what we can anticipate. And that's what our broadcast is today. We're going to have Les Parker on in the broadcast a little bit later, talking about his perspective and all the developments. 2013 is already proving to be quite an interesting year, and we can only imagine what the rest of the year has to hold. So you're going to want to tune in for the month of January, those broadcasts. In February, we're going back and doing a review of the servicing, repeat of the servicing broadcast, not a repeat of the old news, but updates on servicing as it relates to everything servicing, why people need to be considering servicing, and servicing as a strategy. We're going to do that in the month of February. We did that last year, one of the most listened to broadcast series we've ever had, and we're going to do it again. So lots to happen this year, and we're excited to have you be a part, for us to be a part of your way of getting information each and every week. I want to switch gears and quickly and just say thank you to our two sponsors, Alamode, also known as Mercury Network, and United Guarantee. We had United Guarantee on talking about earlier in December, late December, mid-December, and I should have the date down, where we had them on and talking about their amazing turnaround and success story and how they have pulled themselves out and now in just a real strong position. It's a result of leadership, one of my favorite topics. And you want to go grab the Mortgage Banking Magazine from December, which really focused on that turnaround. So go grab that article from the Mortgage Banking Magazine and take a look at it. Also, another Mortgage Banking Magazine article from October is the one about appraisal, some updates, some big changes going on. Some Tony can give us some mergers and acquisition news that he just published this morning going on. So a lot's going on in the appraisal area. But the article that Mercury Network Alamode published in October was Dodd-Frank appraisal compliance. You can go to their website by going to mercurybmp.com/DFA for Dodd-Frank Act, and you can download that article. Joe Farr is with us each and every week, and we're so grateful to have him be here.
Morning, Dave.
Good morning, Joe. I appreciate the update. What do you have? Prices up or a little bit? Up?
Yeah,
down?
Prices are actually they're at the high for the day, which is good.
Wow.
It's they're up 3, and part of this morning, later in the morning, we hit a little drop in prices, so if you got prices, after 10, before 11:30 or so, you could be looking at favorable price changes soon because we're up about 5/32 from that time. So
hey,
no real driver to it.
I was
going to
say, what's the bad news
bit.
That hit? Always want to find out. I was going to say, what was the bad news that hit that made that? You say there was none.
No real news today. You know, we'll talk about last week, which was bad news for mortgage rates anyway. It could be just a little bit of a recovery now of some of what happened. Of course, on Friday we had the jobs report and had a little bit of a reversal on Friday of prior day's losses. So let's just talk about last week, Dave, because it was a tough week for mortgage rates. As everyone realizes, we got a lot of people inquiring of our service after they got burned by a couple reprices on Wednesday and Thursday for the worse. The things that happened last week were two very distinct events. One, Congress avoided the fiscal cliff in that they approved, as we all know, they approved some payroll tax, reduced tax rates, and did not curtail spending. Very good for stocks, bad for bonds. The stock market rallied 300 points, and you know, we had talked about that would likely be the case once Congress got to the point where they were going to avoid the cliff, that the stock market would rally and bonds would sell off. Well, that happened. We lost about a quarter of a point in price on that day. But the big move was a surprise. On Thursday, the minutes revealed that quantitative easing out into 2015, like we'd all been led to believe, was had a great deal of dissent to it. And the concerns now are that quantitative easing will end sooner rather than later, and that people are even now talking about in 2013. So the market reacted again, as you would expect if you had expected that. Nobody expected that. We lost about 0.75 points on Thursday, so the combination of those 2 days, we lost about a point in price. Now, we did get a little bit back on Friday. The jobs report came out on Friday, although it was not a big market mover. I think a lot of the recovery we got on Friday had to do with it being just such a big move on Wednesday and Thursday. So maybe seeing a little bit of that today as well.
Man, interesting.
It was. It was. And when nobody had really expected anything out of those minutes. Oh. It wasn't built up as a big event, and boy, it sure caused a lot of movement.
It certainly did. Well, what's going to move the markets this week, Joe?
Nothing. Well, there's nothing on the schedule. You know, Treasury auctions are about the most significant events of the week. We have a 3, a 10, and a 30 starting on tomorrow, so Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. We'll have Treasury auctions, and especially the Wednesday and Thursday auctions could spill over and cause mortgage rates to move somewhat, MBS prices to move somewhat. So that's what you should pay attention to. But you know, as we've seen lately, as anything can happen to cause the market to move very significantly.
You're saying nothing known is going to happen. It's the unknown.
The unknown. It's the unpredicted, unexpected.
Well, like last week, the Fed minutes. And so when that happens and we have that, markets don't know what to do, and they react, oftentimes overreact, and they react quickly. And how do you folks stay in touch with everything that's going on? There's a lot of services out there, but I'll tell you, one of the reasons I value the MBS Quote Line service so much is it comes to you quickly, accurately, and concisely. And for those of us who are a little overwhelmed with a lot of reading, you got to have something that comes concise. Yeah. Joe, thank you so much for your team doing all that you do to make this, keep us up on our toes and what's happening in the markets. Folks, we'll be right back after this brief break.
Economic uncertainty has created a tremendous amount of market volatility for the past few weeks. Intraday price changes seem the rule rather than the exception. Have you been surprised by a midday price change? Have you been frustrated as you locked a loan just ahead of a price movement? Found it difficult to explain to a customer why the rate you quoted is no longer available? MBS Quoteline can eliminate these frustrations. MBS Quoteline monitors Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and Ginnie Mae mortgage-backed security prices in real time. It makes the information conveniently available on your desktop, smartphone, or by email or text. text message. These are the same prices used to set mortgage rates each morning and to issue midday price changes when significant movement occurs. With MBS Quote Line, you'll never be out of touch with the market,
whether you're in the office or on the road.
See for yourself what MBS Quote Line can do for you. Go to MBSQuoteLine.com to start a risk-free two-week trial.
MBSQuoteLine.com.
646-716-4972. The Lickin' on Lending Show is back. Here is your host, David Lickin'.
Good to have you back with us. Remember, we've got later in the broadcast, Les Parker will be here talking about his, not predictions, but really talking about the new year and what we can anticipate. Has some wonderful perspective, and we'll look forward to that. But bringing to us each and every week a legislative update, everything that's going on in D.C. and across the country, Alice Alvey, good to have you back to the broadcast. And Happy New Year, Alice.
Thanks, Dave. Happy New Year to you, too. My biggest news is that the hockey season lockout is over. There will be some type of hockey left for the year.
That's encouraging, especially for you up north where you actually have ice and snow around still.
Yeah, we love our hockey here in Detroit. Yeah,
I love it too. Having grown up in Minnesota, I love that. So congratulations on the lockout.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I guess back to the mortgage side of things. But so we have a new Congress, the 113th, and the bills are already starting. There's over 200 bills they've already thrown out there. And when I kind of scan through them, there's a lot about trying to balance the budget. You go, right. I'll believe that when I see it. And then there's, all of the other usual topics that come up the first part of the year, including a couple that came up from the mortgage side. And there is a House Bill 189 proposes to prohibit Fannie, Freddie, and Jenny from participating in mortgages that are, registered to MERS. I just wish they'd leave MERS alone. It really is a valuable service. But somebody always seems to think that that's we don't anticipate any legs on that, but we'll certainly watch those types of things for you. And then, of course, we've got House Bill 129 to repeal parts of the Gramm-Leach-Bliley Act. For those of you who know a little bit about history, you might remember that a part of the Gramm-Leach-Bliley Act undid the Glass-Steagall Act, which allowed commercial banks to be more closely aligned with securities company, entities. And so they're trying to propose to be able to undo that. Now let's go back to the Glass-Steagall verbiage. So we'll see. We're just, everything's in its early stages. And, of course, there's lots of other things on Congress's plate. So we're going to let those, we'll just watch that. Nothing urgent. The biggest news is really the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, according to Bloomberg News, is due this week to start to roll out its ability to repay the QM rule. I had a hearing here in Baltimore on January 10th. So we certainly, next Monday, will have for you anything that we can get from that in a very early stage, because we all know that the final verbiage of this starts to really become very important on what is a QM loan, what are our safe harbors going to be, and the banks are really pushing for an implementation date to be way out into 2014, although right now it looks like they're hoping for at least getting it pushed to January 1st of 2014. What I found interesting in the article was that the reporter talked, he said that about 80% of the loans backed by Fannie, Freddie, and FHA would qualify under the legal safe harbor. Well, my question is, how come only 80%? I thought our original wording was going to get us 100%. So we'll definitely be watching this for you and be following up on that. We also know that the National Servicing Standards, it looks like that is also due to come out by January 17th in another hearing in Atlanta. And so we'll watch each week, it looks like, here in these next couple of weeks, we'll be getting the QM, the National Servicing Standards, and then also we know we still have that final rule that has to come out for loan officer compensation, which don't worry about, go listen to previous shows. Ultimately, the LL comp won't be changing things too dramatically for the originators on the front line. So those are some of the big things with CFPB. A heads up about disclosures, folks. Check your risk-based pricing and your adverse action notices. There were some folks who were still having the Federal Reserve Board listed there or FTC. Effective January 1st, your disclosures have to say Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. So if you've heard rumblings of, oh, wait a minute, what disclosures changed? It's just an address and a website. The whole thing didn't get upside down. And then also I know we've got another segment coming up that'll talk a little bit about the B of A settlement. So I'll save that for your news topic. And then last but not least, the banks do get a 4-year reprieve on the Basel III, the liquidity requirements. So that's good news for the banks that we don't have that kind of hanging over our head. And Dave, I know you and I have joked around about is it Basel or Basel? And there actually is a website that gives you like all kinds of description on that. There really are multiple ways to say that.
Oh, good.
So, we're all right, no matter how we pronounce it, is really the bottom line.
I can't wait to look at that website, because that is one I've got to go study and use for defense and ammunition.
So anyway, that's my report for today, and Happy New Year, everyone.
Happy New Year to you, Alice. Thank you so much for being a part of the broadcast and bringing us the latest update. I don't know if you guys know how much time and energy goes into it, but Alice and her staff do an outstanding job of giving us a great digest. And like so many people say, I just get so much in such a little amount of time. I appreciate it, Alice. Thank you so much. Folks, we'll be right back after this brief break.
Looking for a full-service mortgage training and consulting company to fit exactly what you need? Mortgage U is your ultimate education and information resource, used by lenders to execute high-impact, high-quality training throughout the organization. Mortgage U instructors are mortgage professionals, providing classroom and web-based delivery, and has the most sought-after training manuals in the country. Mortgage U has a proven track record, performing customized training programs for hundreds and even thousands of employees, both live and online, on everything from application through loan delivery and insuring. Call Mortgage U today at 800-278-0200 or visit us online at mortgage-u.com. Welcome back to Lickin' on Lending. Our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now here's David Lickin.
Good to have you with us. As we do each and every week now, we are covering what's going on in the news. And Bill Kopich, who wakes up at 0 dark 100, as I say, scours the news and gives us an update. Oftentimes it's what's going on under the radar, but there's a lot going on the radar. Bill Kopich, good to have you with us live from Chicago and Faye Servicing.
Hey, Dave, how are you this morning?
Good to have you with us. Thanks. I like you live. I just love hearing you live. So what do you got?
Well, you know, I spent all this time coming up with some really cool stuff to tell you today. And then once we had three major things happen this morning, I'm going to throw part of it out the window and wing it. So here we go. Okay, first of all, I'm going to keep two of the three things that I was going to tell you about, but go through them faster than normal. DeMarco and the FHFA. You know, DeMarco has had huge political pressure to have principal reductions, which he does not believe in. So the talk is he's going to be gone soon, and there were two articles last week that, you know, I kind of looked at the future and possibilities. Naked Capitalism had an article about how Freddie could have a refi program for underwater subprime mortgages.
Yes.
And that would make the GFEs the stuffies, if you will, on taking on more risk.
Yeah.
And then there was another article about FHFA on Housing Wire. It looked at a Compass Point research study that there's going to be a major expansion of the HARP program. The head of the FHFA has considerable latitude. So, you know, loans within Fannie and Freddie's portfolios, there's going to be another wave of that coming, they think.
Interesting.
Also, I think this might have been talked about before. Alice brought it up quickly, but QM, qualified mortgage. There are some people that think that it will be released, what QM looks like, on Wednesday because of the hearings that will begin on Thursday and a week following. So we'll see if that does come to pass, you know, what that is. So in the next couple of days, we might actually get to see what QM is going to look like. Okay, now, the new stuff of the day that has happened this morning.
Yeah,
I would tell you that in these three stories, Bank of America is having a major cleansing event today because B of A is in all three of them, you know, as the star, but some of them affect other servicers too. There was a rumor last week that there was going to be a, you know, robo settlement for $10 billion. It looks like it's going to be $8.5 billion. 10 servicers are in on it, including the big four. Mm. And so there's going to be $3.5 billion of payments to borrowers and $5.2 billion of mortgage assistance, stuff like mods or forgiving deficiency judgments, stuff like that. And so that's $8.5 billion. But then there were 3.8 million loans in 2009 and 2010 that this goes against. So I don't know that $8.5 billion against 3.8 million loans is really that much money.
Yeah.
And in fact, Eve Smith at Naked Capitalism and also Gretchen Morgenson in today's New York Times both had articles that said that this is a light slap on the wrist compared to what it could be, what it could cost them for all the robo stuff so that they're getting off easy. So we'll see about that. That's the first story. The second story this morning is that it looks like Bank of America and Fannie Mae have come up with a major settlement on repurchase claims. And, you know, a lot of the listeners, you know, that's their personal hell, too. It just doesn't go away. So there's going to be two things that happen. First of all, they're going to pay $3.6 billion to Fannie Mae, apparently, to extinguish repurchase claims. Plus, they're going to buy back $6.75 billion of loans.
Wow.
At par. So they're going to do those two things to clean them up. And apparently, you know, the original unpaid balance that they had at Fannie Mae was $1.4 trillion. And now, you know, it's going to, they're down to $300 billion. So they're getting a lot of this repurchase problem out of the way. And then the final big story this morning is it looks like Bank of America also has made a major servicing sale to NationStar. NationStar is like a giant vacuum cleaner. They're going to buy $215 billion of servicing from Bank of America. They're going to pay $1.3 billion for it. 47% is Ginnie, Fannie, Freddie. 53% is private label. And so, you know, Bank of America, too, because of Basel III, and on that has been wanting to shrink their servicing book. So this is a pretty big sale.
Yeah, that's huge.
Okay, well, I just talked as fast as I could, so there you go.
Well, that's a lot. There's a lot of information, all of the above, are significant. That's so much. Bill, thank you so much. You're up there at Bay Servicing doing an amazing job. Anyone looking for a specialty servicer, you've got to get a hold of Bill Coppedge. How can they get a hold of you, Bill? What's your best phone number?
312-257-3197.
Great servicing company. We can't wait to have you and the whole executive team there at Fay on the broadcast here. Hopefully we're going to be doing that in February when we do the servicing special on that. So you guys
let us know.
Love to have you on, Bill. Thank you so much for being a part of the broadcast.
Okay.
And have a great day.
You do too. Take care. Thanks.
Happy New Year by all means. Folks,
bye.
We usually have a profit doctor on about now, but the profit doctor is making house calls. He's out traveling, and he's out there with one of the patients/clients that we're working with. They're not a patient. These are actually smart people. They're bringing him in advance of the problem, and saying, Andy, could you come in, Profit Doctor, could you come in here and take a look at what we got going on here and make sure all the T's are crossed and the I's are dotted? Man, how about that? Preventative health. The Profit Doctor is out doing some preventative health. But we have on the broadcast right now, we have Tony Garitano, and it's always a pleasure to have Tony be here with us. And, Tony, just want to make sure you're live.
I am. Can you hear me, Dave?
I do. I hear loud and clear. That's excellent. Amazing how technology works. I can actually touch buttons and talk. It's one of the few things I can do together, I think. But anyway, it is good to have you be part of the broadcast. Tony, one of the things I want to share our listeners go back and listen to is the New Year's Eve broadcast. Really outstanding. Well, we had your executive directors on, but we have a couple of questions for you that I'd like to know, get your thoughts on. How will technology and the MBA M&A activity in 2003 measure up as compared to 2012? And you just published a big M&A story today.
I did. I mean, to Dave's point, it has been a pretty big news day all around.
Yeah.
Thank you for having us on the broadcast last week, and I thought I would talk about M&As this week because we didn't get to it last week in our prediction show.
Right.
But I certainly expect technology M&As to be a lot heavier than they were last year. You know, we're certainly going to see more mergers and acquisitions of all sorts, shapes, and flavors when it comes to the technology space. And the one you alluded to, Dave, is pretty significant. It's in the appraisal side. Kirschmeier and Associates, a lot of people will know Jim Kirschmeier. He wrote the Bible on AVMs, automated valuation models. He is a great friend and a really big, prominent thinker on the appraisal side. His company will be merging with Solidify.
That is big.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
That is big news.
It is. I mean, Solidify has, you know, they continue to make inroads in the United States market. They invest very heavily in technology. If you remember, their outgoing president was Griff Straw, who is,
right.
you know, very well recognized in the mortgage space. So this is going to be a big deal for both of those companies. I think it makes them the third largest appraisal company in the United States.
Wow, that is significant. There are a number of areas where we're seeing more and more M&A activity. You know, Tony, one of the questions I have for you is, what's driving it? Is it just that only the bigger are going to survive, and so there's really important that we gather together a bit?
I think you are going to see that the big definitely are going to survive, Dave. But big doesn't necessarily mean huge,
right.
like the Fiservs and First Americans and Fidelities and CoreLogix and Service Links. I think big can also mean big in terms of market share.
Right.
You know, those companies, like, for example, we saw Mortgage Builder complete two big acquisitions last year.
Yeah, late last year. Yeah, absolutely.
Ellie Mae, you know, continues to acquire a company every year. So I think that what's driving it is certainly market share, and there's also going to be a need for technology companies to be more all-in-one, more end-to-end. So you're also going to see a lot of acquisitions this year where technology companies will acquire other technology companies that do things that their platform doesn't already.
So it's kind of building and complementing what they already have.
Right.
Fascinating. It's going to be an interesting year. I have a feeling, Tony, this one's going to be very, very interesting. And certainly there's going to be a brighter spotlight on technology. And we've got you here each and every week to give us an update and keep us informed on what's happening on. That's good. Folks, if you want to learn more, go out to the website, www.progressinlending, and take a look at this. Some great newsletter. Sign up for the email distributions of that, and be sure you sign up for the magazine. Is there some great publication? Tony, appreciate you taking time out of your busy week to be with us each and every week.
Thank you for having me, Dave.
It's a pleasure. Folks, we'll be right back after this brief break.
Mortgage Banking Solutions is the preeminent management consulting firm to the residential mortgage lending industry. No other firm in the U.S. offers the menu of services or the level of expertise to the industry. If you're looking for help converting from best efforts to hedging, or need help with bookkeeping to know your profit per loan, if you are interested in making the transition from broker to banker, or if you just need a roadmap for success, Mortgage Banking Solutions' primary focus is to enable executives to take their business to the next level and guide them down a path towards success and profitability. With over 300 combined years of experience in all facets of mortgage lending, the Mortgage Banking Solutions team of professionals has the expertise and know-how to help you accomplish your goals. New warehouse lines of credit, broker to banker transitions, transitioning to hedging, financial and accounting services, or meeting your capitalization needs. If you need help with these or any other aspects of your business, please contact our Mortgage Banking Solutions sales team to see how we can help you at 512-977-9900. That's 512-977-9900. Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level.
Welcome back. David Licken here, and I've got a special guest, Les Parker. We're really fortunate to get some outstanding guests on the broadcast. And Les is one of those individuals I've known for 30-some years. I don't want to make us sound too old here, Les. But the reality, we've known each other for a long, long time. You're well-recognized within the industry. But you also publish a blog publish a newsletter that – a lot of people might not understand, but I challenge everyone to go to read it. It is so condensed on what's going on in the markets with a twist of wonderful dry humor and just brilliance in there, just a phenomenal. And you're no best known, Les, for your hedging, servicing hedging, although you're an expert in hedging in all parts of the market. And so it's good to have you on the broadcast. And Les, you've been a veteran of this industry for how many years?
Why are you into dating everything today? Because is it the new year? Is that what it is?
I
actually began in real estate lending in 1978. Yes, there really were 70s. I mean, I know there's the 70-something program. And my kids try to tell me, so that's what it was like? I said, no, I don't think they quite get it right.
Well, I started 73. I got 5 years on you. It's amazing
Uh-oh.
How things we do go have the repeat of history in so many ways, Les. And I want to get into some questions, and I really wanted to invite you on. In fact, for our listeners, I was driving around Sunday afternoon, and we do have a broadcast where it's just scheduled where just Joe, Alice, and Andy and I get on the broadcast, and we're talking about some of the future things. But I just couldn't get Les off my mind. Anytime I get that kind of prompting where I go, got to have Les on the broadcast, I picked him up the phone Sunday right after he got done. He's also a pastor. Many people don't know that. He's also a pastor of a church. And he just got done and with his service and was gracious enough to take my call and even more gracious to take a few minutes to come on and be on the broadcast. So we appreciate your commitment to the industry and all that you're trying to do. Give our listeners a sense of your background and the various positions, because as you go into talking about the future, I think it's important to relate it from your background, Les.
Well, I thought on the Sabbath I was supposed to be able to rest, but I had to talk to you.
Not knowing me, you're not going to rest. No rest, yeah. No, you rest. We relax.
No, Dave, as you know, I have been bivocational my whole life. I've been actively involved in ministry. And I've had the privilege to really deal with underserved areas and some at-risk communities, and that's what I've really dealt with. And so weekends, or particularly Sundays, I'm more involved in that, but thanks for mentioning that.
Yeah.
I think it does give me a fresh perspective and being able to deal with different contemporary topics. I try my best to not just get stuck in a box in terms of thinking about these issues, but the Lord has been good to me and given me the abilities to interact with people like yourself, and we've done some great things. You know, I actually started my business back in 1994, Parker and Company, so we've been around now for a while.
Long time.
And with the focus on interest rate risk management, but really it's expanded these more recent years more aggressively in servicing valuations and strategic servicing decisions on the retain versus release decisions that are involved. I've strategically involved with some companies such as Aclaro that I've talked about before on your broadcast on quality control and quality assurance. So we've stayed busy, and fortunately because I did receive my CMB back in 1986 when I was only 29 years old. So, yes, somebody out there can do the math and figure it out. But, at 29, as far as anybody knows, there's no official record, but that's the youngest anyone's received their CMB. And I'm certainly looking forward to my good friend that hosts Lickin' on Lending to have his CMB in the next year or two. We have pushed a lot in the MBA to see more people be committed to ethical standards. And the CMB, we do expect competence. We do expect people to know this industry in a broad perspective. But we also want them to understand that ethical behavior in this industry is paramount.
Yeah.
And that's, I think David Stevens has been really trying to promote the CMB again to say, this is a shining star in the mortgage industry. And any of your listeners that haven't pursued that should seriously look at it as a way to really challenge yourself and grow.
I agree with you 100%. I am committed to getting my CMB. Alice, when did you get yours? What year?
I got mine 5 years ago.
5 years ago. Okay, so Les is the CMB old man in the room here, so let's go. Joe and I, we got to go out there and go get it. But Les, I want to...
There's no doubt about it. I qualify.
You qualify?
In fact, I suffer from a particular... I have a label from the... What? We have labels. My wife is a teacher in special education. They have all these labels.
Well, that's why
for
she
people.
Can get
well,
along with you so well.
That's right, exactly. You got it. But I actually have, my label is OLD.
OLD.
Think about it, you'll get it. OLD is my label.
Well, you know, that's an acronym. We can't wait.
Anyway.
We'll take that. But I'm really interested in the news today on the B of A's news that Bill reported. What's your take on some of this?
On which one? Oh,
the B of A, the
Bank of America.
All,
sure,
yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, Bank of America. I'm sorry, I said B of A like everyone knows.
In a certain sense, this has all been in the works for a while. It's always where the surprise is when they actually release the results or the settlements.
Right.
These have been involved for a while, and Basel III has been mentioned a few times. There's actually news on the Basel III front that international banks are going to get some reprieve. They're going to extend when they actually have to have implementation. It's also going to be... some of the edges are going to be taken off of it. Some people see that as a good thing. Others see that as a bad thing. But for right now, some of the sting that's been a concern for Basel III has been taken out of it. I have not had a chance to read how much of a sting is taken out on the MSR side or the mortgage servicing rights side
right.
and the retentions. But so far, all the majors are moving in the direction that they have to shrink their servicing portfolio. Shrink not necessarily in absolute sense, but in the sense of their growth.
Yeah, and I think so, that which brings in the topic of secondary markets, which you're so well renowned for, and something Joe Kroom talks about regularly. And you know, Joe, toss you the mic if you have anything specifically you want to get in and ask Les. And Alice, I know, by the way, Alice has to drop and run. We're so sorry to have you have to go, Alice, but it's so good to have you always on the broadcast. But Joe, what's your thoughts on the, you know,
on Basel III, I was curious because that has had an impact on mortgage servicing rights and demand. And so, Les, you're saying that the reprieve may or may not affect how the industry values mortgage or how much the industry can carry in mortgage servicing rights?
Joe, I wish I knew the absolute details. I just read the headline that came out yesterday, and my understanding is it's more reprieve in terms of time. But it did say that some other changes for the major international banks have made changes. I think it's more on their shock, the way they have to perform their stress test. But okay. I don't know if they were making any absolute changes on the MSR. I know there's been lobbying for that to not be as draconian in that realm. But where I do think it does affect it is that it actually maintains the uncertainty in mortgage servicing rights.
When you say and maintains the uncertainty, explain that for our listeners.
Well, when you are an investor in mortgage servicing rights and you're a financial institution, you have to have certain capital behind every item that you have on your balance sheet. So if you know there's a rule coming down that's going to impact that, then you adjust in advance of that to be able to manage your balance sheet appropriately, so not have to have more capital employed in an asset that maybe doesn't give you the type of returns that's necessary. So by deferring things or is a good thing in that now it's going to take longer, but it still keeps the uncertainty in that we don't know exactly how it will be implemented in the end. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
We have some clarity in that we know there's changes coming down. We have clarity that instead of it being whatever the dates have changed from one date to it, now it's out further. That's some clarity. However, the uncertainty is, well, will it in fact be implemented in this exact fashion? So there's still some uncertainty in that regard. I think there is a direct impact on the MSR value is probably minimal, but the uncertainty is still out there, and so we don't see really aggressive multiples on servicing values, and that's one of the reasons mortgage bankers continue to want to expand their operations from being just production to also doing servicing.
Joe, you have I'll toss it over to you for a minute.
Well, I know the topic of the show is what's the future of mortgage banking, and I guess with Les specifically, I'd love to get your thoughts on the future of the secondary market and kind of what do you see? Do you see any changes with the GSEs, and do you see anything really changing by this time next year?
Well, you know, Joe, one thing is I enjoy your updates. I think you give you're able to keep it concise and yet in a way that many of us can understand, and that's a talent. When I look at the future of mortgage banking in 2013, I actually haven't published my forecast yet, but I will be supposed to be this week. I actually see major risk in 2013 to mortgage banking. 2012, we saw essentially record profits. The reason for those record profits, Joe, you can probably articulate better than me, but we had the major mortgage companies out there who had this great cloud hanging over them of regulatory items, of settlements, just like what was talked about today in the broadcast. How were they going to settle the servicing issues? how is this all going to move forward? More and more of, we're getting more clarity. Last year we had some settlements. This year we're opening up the year with new settlements, but that's not all finished yet. We also don't know how the GSEs are going to morph now that DeMarco is more than likely is out, and we're going to have more accommodating from a government perspective person in there that will want to do more refis or modifications. I think the single greatest risk we have for 2013 is that the margins shrink from last year.
Mm-hmm. Are they going to shrink? Yeah, go ahead, Joe.
I was agreeing. I mean, they've been wide, and certainly, hopefully you haven't grown accustomed to that, because historically you'd have to say that they can't stay this way for long.
Absolutely. They can't stay this way for long. That's why I've had the privilege to dialogue with a few executives in our industry that are really thinkers on these type of subjects, and the type of response I get from them is that, well, we have regulation overkill. Uncertainty is still out there. However, they do see the risk of margins. Margins shrinking is the big risk, and I think there's two aspects to it. One is it will shrink if you have an increase in interest rates. If you have an increase in interest rates, refi volume is going to drop, and purchase will not be able to pick up in the slack in the refi volume. That would have a direct impact on margin. You're not going to make as much because you don't have as much volume. But when there's less volume and you have the capacity sitting at where it currently is, which essentially can handle the volumes that we had last year, we were a little over capacity, but not by much. So if you shrank the volume some, now there's going to be an increase in competition, probably more at, you might say, the convenience store level, that is among the brokers and the smaller mortgage bankers. I could see them saying, I'm going to give up my margin so I can keep my volumes.
What is going to drive that? I mean, for those that are listening to the broadcast, and we have many business owners that are listeners, regular listeners, what are the indicators, Les, that you think that they should be paying attention to that's going to signal, okay, this is the catalyst that's going to shrink the margin? Or is it going to be gradual?
No, well, you know, it's interesting. We will always, almost all macroeconomists will forecast gradual changes, but they always almost seem to occur almost instantaneously. Then everything catches up.
Yeah.
I actually am looking for two major events this year to drive interest rates and margins. First is for the first quarter that we obviously now are in, I'm actually looking for continuation of interest rates increasing. And with this increase in interest rates during the first quarter, that's going to precipitate what I just said a few minutes ago on this volume versus margin dynamic. Also, one of the reasons driving this increase in interest rates is the perception that the stock market is back, investors are going to loosen up some on their wanting to invest, that we're going to see some of the cap rates get a little lighter, so people are going to be interested and say, well, I'll take a little bit lower return on my equity investments, and that's going to be kind of driving this. I do think that's a short-term item. So later in the year, we will go back down to lower end, maybe not two fresh lows, but lower end of interest rates again, because the economy, in fact, is very unstable. We have significant financial risks globally. We also are going to see further recession in other countries. Europe is in one currently. I don't see them getting out of their morass anytime soon. So with those are going to be the dynamics that end up taking over in the second or third quarters. When that starts taking over, interest rates start dropping again. That's going to pick up some of the refi volume. Not a lot, because you're going to have to get closer to the levels we're at now versus then. So that gives you kind of a perspective on my interest rate outlook.
Yeah, one of the things I kept hearing over the holidays, I got called in to do some broadcasts. I missed some. I couldn't miss because of some things going on. I couldn't do it. But CNBC called me, Fox called me about talking about interest rates going lower, and that there was a new story talking about the Feds actually driving interest rates down to the twos and mortgage bankers not cooperating. Is there any chance? You're saying interest rates are not going to be down to the twos. We're not going to have another refinance boom. You don't perceive.
Well, I didn't know if I said that, but the first quarter, I don't see that. I think
that's what
the
I was looking for.
Right,
I mean,
now, the first quarter is we aren't seeing a significant contraction in fiscal policy, so we're not going to see a significant savings there. Alice was alluding to that earlier. So if that's not going to happen, then there's not going to be much of a drag from that direction. So you actually get a little bit of a lift in the stock market. You get some positive sense of, well, we can do some equity investment. It's not going to be just the spigots opening wide open, but it's going to be enough to cause interest rates to rise. I don't even think we necessarily take out the highs of last year on interest rates, but it's going to, if you have a 25 or 50 basis point increase in rates, that would be a pretty significant event for mortgage bankers in this first quarter. And that will cause volumes to drop, which we'll call margins to drop, which will that's kind of the trickle effect. Then what will happen is that can't be sustained, and the Fed is still supporting mortgages. So what ends up happening is it'll go the other direction, then rates go back down. We're in a broadest picture, nothing much is going to happen. I think that's what Joe was kind of alluding to in his comments earlier, and even what was implied in one of his follow-up questions. But I do agree that in the very big picture, not much is going to happen. The problem is a 50 basis points increase in rates followed by a 50 basis points decline in rates puts you where we are now. And that movement will affect volumes and affect margins. That's really my point.
Yeah, we mentioned the Fed, and I don't think that I don't think we'll know quite what rates will do without knowing that the Fed's going to stick to their 2015 plan. As last week occurred, just the level of dissent among the Fed caused mortgage rates to rise about 10 or 15 basis points. Our belief is that there's a good chance that the Fed's there's going to be pressure on the Fed to stop or to slow down their QE. And when that happens, I do think that we're going to see a negative reaction to interest rates. The Fed's the one sustaining the market right now. They're buying, 70%, 60% of all the MBS out there. So if they stop or if they slow down, we anticipate that they will, and we anticipate that will cause rates to rise a bit.
I agree. It's I thought the percentage of what they're buying right now, I think it's that number if you look at the current coupons or where the bulk of the production is. But I thought it was more like 40% that they're buying. But regardless, they're the major supporter of the market.
Right.
And so if they leave, you would expect to a certain extent rates to be rising. But I actually see that as being more rates can't increase too much, let's say more than 100 basis points. I do not see any way that we increase more than 100. We increase up to 100 basis points from where we are now. I think that's almost impossible because we have too much drag on the global economy.
Right. And think about where that puts us. Still, I mean, even at 100 points higher, we're still at 4.5, and that still allows for a very high affordability index, and you can support an expanding housing market with 4.5% interest rates.
I would agree with you, but refinances will significantly slow, and production and purchase money will not increase that same amount.
No, I agree with you. I agree. The MBA's forecast has production down from 1.7 to 1.4 trillion.
And if you look at what they had In the early part of 2012, they were actually looking at barely making $1 trillion in 2013.
Right.
And I think that forecast was originally correct. I think they understated 2012, and then they're now overstating 2013. I actually think 2013 will see more of a decline than that.
Let's talk about housing. You bring up housing and some of the predictions or some of the thoughts of where housing is going. If we do not have a refinance program, what about housing inventories? Do you see those continue to fall as they have, and is it a result of investors or people actually coming in and starting to buy up homes again?
Well, there's a lot of conflicting information out there. We are seeing some improvement in prices, but if you look at some of the forecasters on prices that I read, Radar Logic is the one I'd like to really focus on. They do not see a recovery until 2015 in prices. I concur with them by the other items that I read. I understand we've had some positive news in the housing market to a certain extent with some particularly certain markets. However, this shadow inventory is not trivial. It's huge. And this settlement with B of A, to me, actually moves us towards starting to clear out some of that inventory. It's not that they're going to sit on it longer. And there's also a great debate going on whether large owners, people that have large REO on their books, should they really be landlords of renting out these single
right.
families? And it's a real mixed review. I don't think that there's a strong enough case to be made that they shouldn't just be liquidating those properties.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, just selling them into a weak market. What is the chances of another housing downturn, Les? I mean, if we don't have
high,
I want to talk about that. Our listeners, a lot of people just want to feel good, and so they're going, no, everything's better. We're down this. We're out of the woods. We're out of the deep part of this canyon. We're coming up, and we're seeing some good days ahead.
That's why I'm so bullish the first quarter. That's why I'm bullish in a sense of why. That's why I think stocks are going to be positive in the first quarter. That's why you're going to see interest rates go up higher. There'll be a certain amount of pressure, as Joe was talking about, pressure on the Fed to have to try and ease its QE3 or 4 or 5 or 15, whatever number you
whatever.
Want to say it is.
Yeah.
But this quantitative easing really is it's trying to delay the inevitable or to smooth it out to where it's in smaller increments. But regardless of how it gets doled out, the pain bottle is still the same size. It has to be poured out.
Yeah.
And we are significantly over-leveraged. The deleveraging that's going on right now with private enterprise and with personal households continues. And now governments have no choice but to also deleverage. And we also have looming problems with our retirement systems, underfunded retirement plans out there. That is going to lead to other issues. And then I'll add one more thing. It's a little potpourri right now, but one more item that I think is a significant item, and that is we are going to see slower growth over the next decade. So instead of many models currently project 3% growth, they think of that as somewhat normal. That's what we're going to return to, and that's the way people are calculating their P.E. ratios for going out these next few years, and that's one of the reasons the stock market is where it is. I do believe later in this year it's going to become obvious that growth will not expand. We will not see the size of growth that's necessary, the rate of expansion of growth necessary to truly reduce the unemployment picture in the United States, and we're going to get additional news globally that's going to see global drags, and that's why in the latter half of late second quarter, going in the third quarter, is it's going to kind of start tumbling the other direction again. Rates will go back down, stock market will get hit. And I wouldn't be surprised at the end of the year if the stock market is 15% lower than where it is today.
Wow. that's, you know, tumbling. You, when you use tumbling back or tumbling down again, and that's why I've always enjoyed, and I want our listeners to listen in. I get the privilege of calling less listeners all the time when I'm racing off to do a Fox broadcast or a CNBC broadcast. He's one of the critical thinkers I call and get his perspective. And I just want to bring this to our radio program more and more, these kind of perspectives, these private conversations I get to have. And I really appreciate you, Les, taking a time to come on the broadcast. Let's look at the broader sense of the economy then. So Europe's going to continue to be the bigger driver. We got about 2 minutes. We can, you know, we have to cut the cord on this conversation. But you never stop. You just put it on pause until we get you back on the broadcast. Europe going to be the bigger factor, you think? Biggest factor?
Europe has not gone away.
Yeah, certainly.
The financial issues there are significant.
Anything that's out of the blue, I mean, the surprises that can come out of it, where should we look for any surprises?
If there is, there might be some unraveling of some of the derivative problems that are out there. Yeah. The derivative problem is a huge issue. We have derivatives on people's balance sheets that the rating agencies have allowed to stay at AAA ratings, even though we know these ratings are lower. There's a counterparty risk associated with these derivatives. And, of course, there's derivatives in the broad class, but we have derivatives, and then we have derivatives on those derivatives. That's actually the number one issue that's being addressed by the central bankers. How do we reduce the overall derivatives that are – and basically when we talk derivatives, we're talking credit default swaps, some type of interest rate swaps that are very sophisticated instruments that are sitting on various banks' balance sheets. Well, in a certain sense, it's a zero-sum game. If one guy has it short, the other guy has it long.
Yeah.
But some of these are – options. So one person may be short the option, and the other one is long the option. And that's partly where you really get into a problem. The person that's long the option can be marking to market and makes it look all great and wonderful. The rating agencies say it's all AAA rated. But the person that's short, they actually now are underwater on it, but they're actually having everyone treat them as essentially zeros. Or be able to say that there's clearly offsets and that there's no problem with the counterparty. Well, AIG, there was a problem with the counterparty. Now they're, quote-unquote, out of their trouble, right? But
right.
Those derivative contracts that they wrote, there's other companies out there like them that haven't gotten really addressed all their issues. So that's probably where, if something comes up that could cause another panic, that's probably where it will be. But the central bankers and the major finance ministers have been pretty good at keeping that game under control by essentially creating a false balance sheets, just saying, okay, essentially everybody has to let things run off by their amortizations, and if there's any settling up of items and it's too out of bounds, they have to just roll them and continue the game.
Les Barker, we can't thank you enough for taking the time out of your busy day. And I know I hit you on a Sunday afternoon and you agreed to come on, but it accomplished exactly what I wanted. I wanted our listeners to just get in and listen to one of our conversations that we have. And I really appreciate Joe's perspective in bringing in the question. So, Les, thank you so much for taking time out, sharing your perspective. We want to have you on when we're doing the servicing segment. We're going to probably do that, as you heard earlier in the broadcast, do that in the month of February. And any other big news, anything you have, you pick up the phone and call us. We want to have you on. We'll carve out time for any perspective you want to bring us, Les.
Thank you.
Good to have you with us. And then, of course, we talked about Aclaro. I mean, Aclaro, Les represents them. So, Les, what's the best phone number for people to get a hold of you? We got 60 seconds. I mean, less than that. 3 seconds for you to tell us the number.
800-214-3343.
You want to get a hold of
A1 Hedge.
A1 Hedge, that's the way to do it. Les Barker, thank you so much for being
thank
on
you.
The broadcast. Appreciate it very much. Joe, it's been a great broadcast. Got a lot of good information there. Some of it's a little bit on the sobering side, but as we look at where things are at. But we appreciate you listeners being a part of the broadcast and passing the word on. We are at that point where we got to cut it and run. Appreciate you telling others about it. Go to our website, Lickin' on Lending. And by the way, go tune in David Stevens' broadcast, December 17th. Really excellent. Good broadcast. Got a whole bunch of them lined up. Stay tuned all throughout the whole year for the latest on what's happening in the mortgage space. Have a great week, everybody. Talk to you soon.
This has been Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Lickin of Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level. Today's guests were Joe Farr from MBS Quoteline, Andy Schell of Mortgage Banking Solutions, and Alice Alvey, President CMB of Mortgage U. Come by next week and thank you for listening.